But anyway, I just want to, we're just going to digress just a little bit. About the primary work of the church is loving one another, edifying one another in love, being edified in love. And I just wanted to read a couple of scriptures from last week. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. The work that's being done, he's doing it. I'm not doing it. You're not doing it. You're participating with him in what he is doing. So we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I'm asking the Lord just to work something out in your heart. I said this a little bit last week, and I'm going to say it again, that we would get so in each other's heart that you'd go home, and during the week, someone would come to mind. I know you think about each other. I know that happens to me. You think about each other, but then you just think, and then you just go on. That's the Holy Spirit stopping you to pray for that individual. But I want you to carry it a step further, and I want you to think about what you can do to bless that individual. Maybe it's a card with a word of encouragement. Maybe it's a cheesecake. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe it's some small practical thing. Maybe you're walking through your house and you see something and you think, but that would be such a blessing. It's just sitting there on that shelf, but it would be a blessing and encouragement to this person or that person. Maybe you're in your closet and you think Dominic could make more use of these shoes than I could. I don't know. But there's a work of love that's coming, and the revival and the renewal that's coming to our nation can only come through love. It won't come through prophesying, although there will be a lot of that. It won't come through the laying on of hands, although there's going to be plenty of that. But it's going to come through love, loving one another and loving some unlovable people, loving some people that the world has said no longer have a future and a hope. But in God, there's always a future and a hope. So we're God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He prepared them before you got here, for you. Ephesians 4:16 says, the whole body joined and knit together, where every joint supplies according to the effective working of every part, where every part does its share. I start thinking about my part in your life and your part in mine. Every part does its share. That's why God's doing a work in the church that's going to get us off of our sofas and out of our... I'm looking for the right word here. Comfort zone. And move us into one another's lives in an appropriate way. Not an inappropriate, intrusive, but in an appropriate way. So that the effectual working of every part does its share and causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. For the edifying of itself in love. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, always abounding, always. Somebody say what always means. Always means always. Always, that word defines itself. Always abounding, never ceasing to abound in the work of the Lord. Every single day when the sun comes up, you have a work of the Lord to do that day. It may just be a word of encouragement to someone that you meet over by the tomatoes in the grocery store. But you have a work from the Lord. Do that work. So today, Hebrews 13 and 16 says, do not forget to do good and share. That's kind of what happened this morning with all this goings on. Yeah, somebody's here and they're going, this is the weirdest church I've ever been in my life. It's going to get weirder. It's going to get stranger. God is good. The Lord actually asked us at the beginning of the year, could he do some things differently and us not be put off by it? Well, this is one of those things. Are we going to be put off by it or are we going to receive it? All right. So do not forget to do good works and share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God wants to be able to pour through you. That share word is so important. So why does the Lord need to say this? Because it is not our human nature to share. And our culture has told us to store up and to stack up. And the word tells us there's some wisdom to storing up. You prepare for, man, I wish I'd have caulked my house for a rainy day because I've found out every crack, right? We should prepare for some difficulties and for the trouble that life brings and those things. But if you do not share out of the well of your life, you become a dead sea wherein things flow into, but nothing can get out of, and it just gets stinky. It just becomes smelly and unfruitful. Y'all have a relative that you'd call smelly and unfruitful, right? You know what I'm talking about. No, it just becomes unfruitful. Salty, nothing can grow there. No, you've got to be, pull the stopper out of your life. Lord, help us. Lord, help us today to just pull the stopper out and to become a vessel through whom you can flow so that we can share. You need to determine this week, I'm going to share something out of my life with someone else. I'm going to share something I have. I'm going to share out of my finances. I'm going to share out of something. Oh, did he say finances? Yes. You want to get a flow going there? Why don't y'all give God what he's worth? Let's give God what he's worth. Then tithing won't, none of those terms will matter because he'll have all of you. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, that means sometimes you're going to give out of your life and you're going to be thinking in the back of your mind, I'm giving away what I need. I remember when we were young and Rachel was on the way and somebody blessed us with just a ton of dresses. And I'm going to tell this story again, right? Somebody blessed us with this ton of dresses and we hung them in the storage in little bags waiting for Rachel to arrive because there was like not even knowing that we were having a girl. We had all these dresses, and they were beautiful for a little girl, and they would have probably went all the way till she was 3 years old. There was just all kinds of sizes, and they're hanging in there. And we have a baby on the way. Back in those days, they didn't do those beautiful ultrasounds. Like, man, you hit Ben and Jocelyn up and take a look at that baby. There's a baby coming. Grandma's happy. That baby's in your face already. He's like right up there. He's like, camera. So we had all these dresses hanging in the closet, and I thought, this baby's going to be dressed to the hilt. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then we got word of someone's house had burned down, and they had little girls in these sizes. And Laura said, go bag all that stuff up. We don't need it today. They do. Oh, but somebody gave that to us for our baby. No, we don't need it today. Baby's still in the oven. They need it now. So we bagged all that stuff up, and we took it, and we gave it. Rachel never time wanted for something to wear. God blessed from the day she was born, and she'd be looking pretty spiffy today. Never wanted for a thing to wear. That sowing produced fruit throughout her life. Giving. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, but we're going to need this. I want you to know that with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Decide today that we're going to love sacrificially, that we're going to love one another, even if it hurts a little bit to love, because God loves such sacrifices. He's pleased with those sacrifices. And if you'll pop the stopper out of your life and let God flow through, He's going to get through there, and it'll become a gusher in no time. But the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to sow out of your life. And then the enemy is going to come and he's going to whisper to you. Because how many know that when you plant seed, you have to wait for harvest? And so in that period of time, he's going to come and say, see, I told you so. The minute that you let go of what you needed, now you just lack. You have to be ready to say, shut up, devil, I have a promise from God, because he's pleased with my sacrifice. We read Hebrews 13:16. He's pleased with my sacrifice. So the Lord needs to say this to us, because it is contrary to our human nature, and particularly to our culture we just want to hang on to. And God is asking you, if you'll let go, if you'll open your hands right now in this season, open your hands and let him flow through you. Okay, go forward. I just want to bring a little bit to you. We'll probably be in here this week and next. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6 is where we'll start. Listen to these words. Listen. We are of God. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. I love John, and I've told you this before about John. He's just matter of fact. He's just straight up, this is the way that it is. And John doesn't see gray areas. He's just, when he speaks and when he writes, he just speaks in fact. We are of God. So you need to receive that, because that is the word of the Lord to you. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. You are of God. And people who know God, who are quickened to understand that what's coming out your mouth is from God, will listen to you. Don't worry about who won't listen. When Urban Story's team was ministering to that man who was strung out, and he listened because he knew they were of God. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who recognizes, wait a minute, this is from God. Doesn't mean he knows God in that, even that he's received salvation yet. He's smart enough to know what I'm hearing is from God. God is speaking right now. He who is not of God does not hear us. He who's not ready, he who's not there yet, he who's not open, he doesn't hear us. That's okay. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So John's just like, here, let me give you some discernment. This is the way you know. Spirit of truth will receive truth. Spirit of error won't receive truth. Don't you love that? Just like straight up. Okay, beloved, he's talking about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, and he says to the church, beloved, let us love one another. He didn't say, beloved, let us lay hands on one another. Beloved, let us prophesy to one another. Beloved, let us start a prayer line and push one another down. Beloved, let us move with a word of wisdom among one another. He said, beloved, let us love one another. There again, he's having to speak to the human nature of individuals who, whenever they see someone that doesn't look like they think folks ought to look, come into the room, that they're not put off by that. So what? They got blue hair. Beloved, love one another. Beloved, It is imperative when he said, let us love one another. He's saying, don't let anything get in the way of love. Man, I felt challenged by this. Don't let anything get in the way of love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. When I was growing up, one of my pastors, a very direct and somewhat legalistic guy. And so the youth leader's wife got kind of a knot in her tail about his preaching because they were leading youth and the message seemed a little hard. And he says, why don't he just preach on love? I mean, it's in there. Why don't he just preach on love? And he got wind of that. So he got up in the pulpit and he said, I heard that y'all wanted me to preach on love and I need to preach on love today. So turn in your Bibles. And he gave his passage and he said, this is a passage. Love not the world. Neither the things in the world. Right? Preaching on love. It just seemed to fit right there. You know, Brother Norman. Yeah. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In other words, you consider yourself to be born of God, and if you really want to know God, the starting place for that is love one another. I want this to get so deep in your heart. Lord, I need this to get so deep in my heart that we would love one another with love that is everlasting. Listen, love will heal someone who's sick way faster than anything else. Particularly those with a broken spirit. The Bible says a broken spirit just dries the bone, dries the inner man. Someone with a broken spirit needs more than anything else. They don't need you to correct them. They don't need you to tell them they're off the wall. How many have ever had someone to tell you how wrong you were and you already knew it? You didn't need anyone to tell you how wrong you were. How many understand you sometimes things come out your mouth and before they hit the ears of the hearer, you're like, oh my God, I shouldn't have let that out my mouth. You don't need anyone to tell you you blew it. You need someone to love you. Please don't bring correction before you bring love. Please don't do that. Did you know prophecy without love will just rip someone to shreds? Just tear them up. How much better if you just said, Jesus loves you so much, and I love you. How many understand that God is giving us the ability to, this is the wonderful thing about the kingdom of God, and we're going to work together to love one another. We are going to put our work into it. How many understand that the kingdom of God, God is love. Everything in the kingdom is riding on the church, loving the world around them. And if we don't learn it here, and if we don't learn it at home, we can't take it out there. You can't take love to work if you have no love at home. If you're not, how are you going to take something you don't have? So in order for us to give this expression in the lives of the people around us, we have to begin giving that expression right here at home. Right here in this body. So I want you to just say to the Lord this week, who can I love on and what can I do to love them? Who needs my attention this week? When I come back to church on Sunday, who needs my attention? When I show up at my small group, who is there that needs a word of encouragement or that needs some kindness shown to them? Did you know that you're sitting across the table or down the row from someone who may have not had a loving word spoken to them all week long? Chris, thank you for ministering to Judah this morning. There was something there that was love expressed. Chris has such compassion for the little kids. She's worked among them her whole life. It's precious. I was about to fall over watching with his little hand in the air, just tearing me up. Dad was just getting beside himself. Listen to this. If you think you know God and you can't walk in love, if I think I know God and I can't walk in love, he who does not love does not know God. You can be saved by him and not know him. You can receive, this isn't about salvation. This is about knowing the one in whose image you were created. This is about a personal relationship with Jesus. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Did you know it doesn't say God is justice? God is correction. He does all those things. It says God is love. It is the essence. The Bible says faith works by love. Love is the driving force of faith. I'm going to say that over and over again. I've heard great faith preachers preach on faith for hours and never say a word about love. But love for faith is like you putting gas in your car. It's a driving force of faith is love. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Love is manifest through the work of Jesus Christ. Love is manifest to you because of the cross. Love is manifest to you because God sent his only Son. Love is manifested to you because Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Love is manifested to you because of Jesus. And so in this, we will manifest the love of God toward one another.